Faith and repentance are two sides of the same coin of conversion. Hello, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and welcome once again to Times of Refreshing. We're here each weekday at this time to hear from Kenneth Wong, who will share words from the Bible for us to reflect upon. Now, Ken is a husband, a father, author, and a regular speaker in many churches, conferences, and camps, and his ministry has a wide appeal to both young and old. Now, if you were with us last time, you heard Ken talk about a key theme in the Bible, that being repentance. He said the biblical meaning of repent is to have another mind. In other words, repentance is a change of mind and attitude rather than a feeling of remorse. Therefore, to repent is to abandon and discard our old attitudes and beliefs. So today, Ken builds on that theme by adding the word conversion. He says true conversion is the result of true repentance and faith, not our own determination to be a better person or lead a better life.
Hi, everyone. It's great to have you back with us again for part two of the message on Give Me a Break. We were on Acts chapter 3 yesterday, and we talked about the restoring work of God. And then we also talked about repenting in our text verse, chapter 3, verse 19. And I want to bring you through another two significant Bible words which occur in this particular text. So let's look at them now. I would like to consider next the word returning. We have noted the close link between faith and repentance in the first part. And in fact, faith and repentance are but two sides of the same coin of conversion. Now, when we talk about spiritual or religious conversion, this is what we really mean, because this is what we come across next in our texts in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Now, to be converted is to turn around. That's what it means simply, to return. To turn back from the path we've been pursuing on our own and to return to the place that God has originally intended for us. True conversion comes only as a result of true repentance and faith. It's not the result of our own determination to be a better person or to lead a better life. You see, our real need is not turning over a new leaf, as we often hear it said, because, you know, even a new leaf grows old and soon fades away. So the real need is not turning over a new leaf, but turning to God. We stop and we change our mind about the direction we've been heading, and we start on a new direction because we have been given new information. Now let me ask you, how long does it take to change course? Just an instant. That's all we need to decide and make the crucial choice to stop and to turn around. It doesn't come readily to us. You know, there's this intrinsic urge to move on, and there's always a great inertia to stop and to turn back, and this can be overwhelming. But the further we go, the wider off the mark will be if we are not on the right track. Many years ago, when I was a university student during the summer holidays, I took a train trip to Europe from where I was studying in the United Kingdom. And when I first crossed the English Channel, I took my first train on French soil to where I thought I was going. But after traveling on the train for about maybe 45 minutes, I began to have the uneasy feeling that I was going in the wrong direction. And so I confirmed it after one or two stops more. But there came a point where I made the decision. This is not where I'm supposed to be going. So I got off the train and I took the train in the opposite direction. And I was able to get to my destination around midnight, just before the youth hostel closed, and I was the last guest taken in. Now, if I had not made that crucial decision to stop in my tracks and to turn around, I would never have made it to my destination in time. So that's what true conversion is. It's a turning around. Next, I want you to see that the effect of being converted is this. We read in chapter 3, verse 19 of Acts, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." That's the effect. Now, let me take a little time to talk about this critical matter of sin. Sin is the root of all that is not right in our lives. I like to call this the heredity of humanity. It's something that we inherit, we're born with. It's the default condition of every human being. This is not just a matter of wrongdoing, but more fundamentally of wrong being in our relation to God as our Creator. The condition of sin leads to the commission of sins. Wrong being leads to wrongdoing. Whenever you come across the word sin in the singular, remember that it's sin in the singular that produces sins in the plural. It's the state of sin which separates us from God that leads us to commit sins, acts of sins, which in turn further alienate us from God, and this goes on in a vicious cycle. God's solution for sin is provided through Jesus Christ. When He died for us, in order to take sin's penalty, for God cannot simply just overlook or condone sin to go against His own righteous requirements. But Jesus not only died to take sin's penalty, He also rose again from the dead so that He triumphed over sin's power. And this is made available to us. This is basically the good news of the gospel. I want you to know that there is no sin so bad or so big that cannot be blotted out or wiped out by the blood of Jesus. His blood was shed to take away all sin. Under the Old Testament, sins were atoned for, and the meaning of that word really is to cover up. In the Old Testament days, God had instituted an elaborate system of repeated sacrifices of bulls and goats. But even then, we see that it's God's intention for sins to be blotted out. For example, we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 25, where it says, "I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions," that's your sins, "for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Now that is what blotting out or wiping out your sins means. It means that in the eyes of God, there is no more record of your past sins. And unlike the repeated sacrifices of animals in the Old Testament, the sacrificial death of Jesus is once for all. And only with the blood of Jesus can sins be blotted or wiped out completely and not just covered up. Let me read to you from another place in Scripture. This is from Paul's epistle to the Colossians in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, which talk about this. "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses or all sins." And here it is, "having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us." These verses are loaded with the things that we have been talking about. God's solution for sin in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now this is what wiping out our sins is like. It's like erasing the whiteboard or pressing the delete button for files to be deleted from your computer. There is absolutely no more record after wiping away. Salvation from sin comes into immediate effect when we believe on Jesus as our personal Savior. We're immediately cleansed and forgiven of sins. so that our lives can be converted from one that has been driven by ourselves and by sin to one that delights in Him. So this is what returning implies. Next, we turn to the word refreshing, which also comes in our text in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Here at last is our program title. Now, this reference to refreshing does not mean feeling good as an end in itself, but as an effect. See, it's a consequence rather than a cause. Now, this word refreshing, unlike the previous words repenting and returning, is uniquely used here in the New Testament. It suggests relief and respite from the heat and burden of the day. And we get refreshed through cooling or resting. Now, if you read in the context, there's a reference to future times of restoration for Israel when the Lord returns. For example, if you read further down in verse 21, it speaks of the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. But also, there is a general and wider application for all of us today. And this is what I would like to focus on. Now, first, refreshing can point to regeneration for those who have not yet believed in Jesus Christ. Regeneration simply means being reborn or being born again spiritually to a new life in Christ. When that happens, the load of sin is displaced and it gets replaced with a new life and a new liberty, freedom in Christ. This all happens entirely by God's grace and is nothing of our own doing. When we speak of refreshing as regeneration in this sense, it's full and final, in the sense that spiritual birth, just like natural birth, happens just once and is never repeated. Of course, there will be growth and development to come as new evidence of life. Secondly, refreshing can point to revival or renewal for those who already know Christ. They can experience seasons of revival or renewal in their spiritual walk from time to time. They may find themselves in spiritual stagnation or even declension. Delight in the Lord has given way to a dry and dull religious routine. Instead of the joy and the zeal we have experienced, staleness and heaviness of spirit begins to set in. Now, it's possible to fall into such a sad spiritual state, and it happens through slow but sure drifting away from God. This can happen when we get driven by strong undercurrents of worldliness. The springs of true revival are always to be found in heartfelt repentance. And revival can happen on a personal level. It can happen on a church or congregational level, or even on a national level. We should not be lulled into a lukewarm sense of complacency. We don't want to be weighed in the scales and found to be wanting or short. If we find ourselves in such a state, we need to look to God for blessed times of refreshing by humbling ourselves before Him and seeking His face in repentance for our sins of commission as well as omission. The same pattern and principle is at work. First, there's repenting, and this in turn leads to a returning to God, and then we experience the refreshing effects afterwards. There can be no real or lasting change without genuine repentance, and soon the novelty and excitement of the encounter wears off. It is God's desire for us to live in fullness and freshness of His steadfast love and mercy, and they are new every morning. To live with less is to forget and to forfeit ourselves of the riches of His grace. Now, this last part of our text says, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Let me say a few things about this phrase, presence of the Lord. How do we experience the presence of the Lord? How can we meet the risen Lord who is now in heaven? For sure, there will come a future day when He will return and be present to judge and rule on the earth. But meanwhile, we are not left as orphans here, as Jesus said. Because He went, the Holy Spirit was sent. And the Holy Spirit was sent and given to indwell and instruct all believers in the things concerning Christ. This is the great and unique privilege of believers in Christ, that God should make His habitation in them by the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit now is to mediate the personal presence of Jesus in heaven to us on the earth. So we can know the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. But we can also know the presence of the Lord through God's Word in the Scriptures, because the Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So we come into the presence of the Lord when we are confronted by the Holy Scriptures and also when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. These are not something magical or mystical, but they are practical things that we can do. If you are still enemies of God in our sins, we can never know the presence of the Lord. We remain alienated and separated from Him. But once we are saved, God gives us the Holy Spirit to reside in us and to abide in us. Where sin once separated us from God, salvation now separates us to Him. His presence is not something intermittent, something that comes and goes, or like the tide that ebbs and flows. You know, there's nothing more precious and wonderful than to know this inward presence of God in all places and at all times. Dear friends, you need look no further than Jesus if you're looking for a big break. By repenting of sin and believing on Him as your Savior and Lord, you can be converted and you can return to Him. You can make a clean break with your past and be born again or regenerated to a new and eternal life in Christ. This is what the gospel is. It's good news, and it's the best news that we can bring and that you can receive. Now, we have covered quite a lot of ground in just this one significant verse in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It's a verse loaded with truths. But rather than be distracted by too much detail, I just want you to concentrate on the three main things that we have gone through. That is repenting, returning, and refreshing, so that God can do His work of restoring your life. Now, beloved, if you have known the Lord, but you have gone away from Him all this time, you can repent, you can change your mind, you can decide to return to Him, so that you can be restored and you can experience what it means to be revived and to be renewed in your relationship with God. But for those of you who have not yet come to know the Lord, I want you to know that you can make right your relationship with God by repenting of your sins, by changing your mind about Him and returning to God in the same way, for the first time. And in so doing, you can be born again of the Spirit from above and start a new life in Jesus Christ from today. And to do that, I would like to lead you in a simple, short prayer of commitment that you can make in the presence of God so that this eternal work can be accomplished in your life today. Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of my sin and I want to receive by faith Your provision of salvation, simple as it seems to be, but that is all that is required, and it's perfectly done. I want to return to You from having led and wanting to go my own way all these years. And as I respond in faith and repentance, do this eternal work of regeneration in my life. Let me be born again from above and fill me with Your Holy Spirit so that I can know Your abiding presence in my life from this day forward. Make me a new person and give me a new and eternal life. In Jesus Christ. Amen. And may you continue to be refreshed by the Lord's presence and be reached by His Word.
God's desire for us is to live in the fullness and freshness of His steadfast love and mercy. And to live with less is to forget and to forfeit ourselves of the riches of His grace. Thank you, Ken. Times of Refreshing is a brand new program produced by Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia and aired each weekday at this time on this radio station. Times of Refreshing is a production of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again next time for Times of Refreshing. In the meantime, we'd like to hear from you, and there are a variety of ways for you to contact us. You can send a text message to 94313813 or an email to info@timesofrefreshing.asia or send snail mail to Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, for more information. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.